Yes.
Praise the Lord. Pastor, I have question to ask. About 4 or 5 questions. Yeah. The first question is that when the disciple of Jesus and the disciple of John the Baptist was baptized, praise the Lord, I want to ask question.
Yes.
About the baptism in the swimming pool. Is it biblical? Because the Bible says when the disciple of Jesus Christ and the disciple of John the Baptist, they baptized in where much water. Praise the Lord. And in the Old Testament,
they baptized where?
Where much water.
Where there's much water.
Yes.
Okay.
And in the Old Testament, they said they did purification after the 7 days in running water. And the book of Micah, chapter 7, the last verse 19, says...
The book of what?
Micah, chapter 7.
Oh, Micah, okay.
Micah, chapter 7, verse 19 says...
Are you Hausa man?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
The Bible said that your sin, I will never remember your sin again. I will cast your sin in the deep of the sea. Praise the Lord. So, I think that...
I think the answer is clear. They baptize where there is much water. Why much water? Because it must be enough to immerse you.
Okay, I asked that why people are baptizing in the swimming pool. That's what I asked.
Because the water there is much.
Thank you, sir. I got it. Thank you. Okay, the second question I want to ask.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. The Bible said that the earth is of the Lord and fullness thereof. Praise the Lord. So some general overseers, I know that the call general overseer is not good. I studied the Bible and I understand that you are right, that the person needed support to call himself general overseer or reverence. I discovered that it's wrong. But I want to ask, in the denomination, they employ pastors to teach and to pay them. Praise the Lord. Is it right? Churches that are renting church and they are not able to pay the landlord and rapture take place. They said that the church is church of God. Those people, they will hold God for the debts. Because the Bible says that all no man, said the Lord. So who will pay the debts? Is church of God. And under renting, they don't pay the landlord rapture take place. Who will pay the debts?
What do you want me to answer you?
I don't know.
Me too, I don't know.
I'm confused.
So why are you confused that you rent a place?
Because
if it is a church of God, listen, if it's a church of God, before the rapture will take place, we make sure we don't owe anybody. Because every problem we have must be solved here. We are not carrying anything over there. So don't worry about that. God is in charge of his church. Okay. And he will make sure there's a provision to pay that rent before the rapture. So don't bother about it.
Okay. The third question I want to ask. In the book of John, the Bible said that and they will hear the voice of the Son of God and they will comfort. And even he used to say that Moses allow comfort because people make the people to understand. Praise the Lord.
Yes. It's,
so... The Bible says, and you hear the voice of the archangel, praise the Lord, the shout. And I confuse. I don't differentiate between the angel Michael, and Jesus and the Satan. Praise the Lord. I confuse. Because the Bible called Michael is archangels. Praise the Lord. In that place, automatically the voice, you hear the voice of the archangel, I discover that it's Jesus. And then the Bible says that the angel Michael contacted the archangel because not to take the Moses' dead body. So who is Jesus? And who is the Michael? And who is the Satan? The devil.
Now, the word
archangel
is a description of the might of that angel. The might of that angel. Now, John saw an angel, and with the glory around that angel, he described him as an archangel in Revelation chapter 10. That puts one foot on the sea and 1 foot on the earth, and holds a book. And why we say it is Jesus is because in chapter 5, he had collected the book. And the seals were open, and now everything is fulfilled. He comes in chapter 10 and declares time no more, because the title deed of redemption has been collected. The seals have been fulfilled. And he can now declare that time should be time no longer. That is the end of all things. Now that they call him an archangel there is only a description of who he is. Remember that 3 angels came to visit Abraham. Do you know that it was God that visited Abraham with his angels?
Yes.
Eh?
Yes.
But the Bible called them angels. Do you also know that Abraham met a man, a priest, on the way by the name of Melchizedek?
Yes.
Eh?
Yes, sir.
Who did he meet?
The priest of Most High God.
Who was he?
Jesus.
It was not Jesus. In Hebrew chapter 7, Apostle Paul made us to understand who Abraham met. Yes. As Melchizedek, he met the Almighty God. But he came in angelic form. What you see as the archangel seen in Revelation chapter 10 is the Lord Jesus Christ appearing as an archangel. So that arch is not only for Angel Michael or Angel Gabriel, because of the hierarchy of authority in the angelic family. Gabriel or Michael occupies a high position. That's why he's called an archangel. That is where you borrow, denomination borrow, and have archbishop. It is position of authority. Arch in their organization. Not in the Church of Jesus Christ, so it's in that organization. There's no archbishop. The bishop of our faith is who? The Lord Jesus Christ, and he is the archbishop. He is the general overseer of his church. He is the archbishop. Power. God bless you.
I never finished. I have
the last one.
5 questions.
The last remain question.
Remain two questions.
Uh-huh.
Remain 2 questions. I want to ask something, sir. In that book of Ezekiel chapter 28, praise the Lord, the Bible says in the book of Psalms that he said God that sitting between the cherubims. Praise the Lord.
That what?
The Bible said that God sits between the cherubims.
Okay.
When they created the act of God, they say, when they built the temple, they say, let the, before the mighty mercy seat, say, let them do the wings of the cherubims.
Yes.
And I read that place, that person, and also they talk about Jesus sit between demons and the demons and gods. But in that place, in that Ezekiel chapter 28, that person moved between the stones of fire and he moved between the cherubims. I confess. I think that one is Satan. Okay, Satan said, as a cherub.
When I say that is a cherub,
he has a cherub. So I confess.
Satan doesn't have a cherub. Whatever you see there is a depiction of what you see in the throne of grace, throne of God. Satan doesn't have cherubims around him. He has
because
demons.
I read that place that he walked between the cherub, the written in that Ezekiel chapter 28.
That is God. That is God that walks.
But when you go further, he said that because he exalted yourself, you will become dead.
Sorry. I'm understanding you now. Sorry. He's using that place to depict the position that Lucifer had before his fall. He has so much authority and so much freedom, and is describing how his position was until iniquity was found in him. And now is brought down, cast down from that glory.
Okay. The last question, sir. Yes, sir. The last question I asked that in heaven, I read one place, some places, and I confused. You know, I just joined Christianity. I'm from Muslim background. So I want to understand the scripture. So I searched the Bible very well. Praise the Lord.
How long have you been in Christianity?
Well, I can say that it's 5 years now.
And there are some people that were born in the church. And they are 50 years now. They don't know what you know. Let's clap our hands for this young man now. The truth is this. Those who are born and belong to a different faith, when they come to Christianity, there is that hunger to know. You begin to search. You want to know. And the more you search, the more it gets interesting. That condemns your former faith. But those of us who were born, now, our papa bring Anglican come our village before he marry my mama. You don't care. If you ask how many books are there in the Bible, they don't even know. How many in the New Testament, how many in the Old Testament, they don't even know. You see? God will bless you. And he who seeks will find. And the truth, if you study, there are questions you will ask. So I'm not surprised you are asking that question. Go ahead.
Okay, sir. I searched the Bible, sir. So I discovered something. And even the last week, even you talked that the maker died childless because he mocked David, because David worshiped God.
Michal, yes.
Maker. Then I studied the Bible and I see that maker didn't die childless, but the children died because the Gibeonite requires 7 children to pay their revenge against King Saul, because there is famine in the days of King David, in 3 years famine. So King David bring 5 children of Maker, which is that Maker of Saul. Saul get 2 Maker. So automatically, if Saul didn't get 2 Maker, then Maker get 5 children in 2 Samuel chapter 21.
But they all died.
They all died.
Thank you. So she was childless.
Okay. And I asked, in heaven, I discovered something in the book of Sam. This is 1 Samuel chapter 29. That when King Saul, God didn't speak to him. And he didn't. So he went to ask a widow, to ask from God. And he told the widow to bring spirit of Samuel for him. Then Samuel prophesied for him that tomorrow you will meet me. So Saul, is this Saul in the kingdom of God?
We can look at that. Those who proponents of once saved, forever saved. You could say, we know that Samuel died a righteous man. Yes. Therefore, where he is certainly paradise. So if he says, Saul, tomorrow you will be with me, it could also say, you too, you will cease to live and be in paradise with me. But watch it. Paradise is not a punishment. And Saul is supposed to die as punishment. So I believe that it is more appropriate to look at that statement from the point that you will die, you will cease to live. As I am dead, you will be in the land also of the dead. Thank you. You'll be in the land of the dead. And the next day, he died.
Yeah, yes.
See, that is where the emphasis is. It is that death sentence was pronounced over him, not a glorious homecoming to paradise. For the nonsense he was doing. It's death. Thank you. Let's clap for this malam. Clap for this malam. Thank you. Yes. on the screen. Shalom, sir. I want to know from where? Kogi? From who? Ugbe Deojo from Kogi. Shalom, sir. I want to know why the Bible was translated and the name of Jesus was translated along. Do we translate a man's word and also translate his name? Jesus is Yeshua in Hebrew. Why was it changed to Jesus? I want to know, sir. Me too, I don't know why they translated it. I don't know why they translated it. But I want you to note that every language has it has a name it gives to anything. If you call it in your language this name, another person can call the same thing another name. The important thing is what they are referring to. And they are referring to God. Remember that man was given the authority to name anything. Adam was given the authority to name anything. And whatever name he gives, heaven backs it up. So if in your language you decide to call him that name, heaven accepts it. If the reference is that man that was born by virgin birth, whom you accept as your savior. When you call that name and that is who you are referring to, God will back it up. Thank you. Yes.
Praise God. Sir, I want to ask my question from the book of Psalm 8 from verse 4. It says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visited him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angel, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Also, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3 says, know ye not that ye shall judge the angels? How much more things than pertain to life? My question here is this, sir. This place is talking about God making man higher than angels, and the other side is saying that we will judge the angels. I would like you to explain
making
man a little lower than the angels, and then this First Corinthians is saying that man will judge angels.
Yes.
Yes.
And the statement says, who is man that thou art mindful of? Somebody that by creation, you have created him to be lower than the angels in creation. Because the privilege that the angels have, we don't have it. The strength they have, we don't have it. The opportunity they have with God, we don't have it. He made us lower than them, and yet he gave us authority to judge them. Who is man that you are that mindful of? From nothing, you gave him so much power until you gave him power to even judge angels. Who is man? Are you reasoning now with the psalmist? That is the reasoning of the psalmist. His own way of expressing the great privilege that man has before God. He made Jesus Christ the first begotten among many brethren, and he made us heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Imagine that. Who is man that you are so mindful of that you will step down from your glory, come down here just to redeem? Who is man? Why are you so interested in us like that? And you didn't call any angel your son. Only we. As many as received him, to him gave them power to become what? The sons of God. He did not give any angel the spirit of adoption. He gave us the spirit of adoption. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. No angel is a son of God. Only Adam is a son of God. And Jesus Christ is a son of God. And Moses Ali is a son of God. I don't know who else. Any other person? God bless you. That is what is amazing. The psalmist. Who is man that thou art mindful of? Of all your creation, you seem to be very interested in man. Why? God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
On the screen again from Oshobo, Evangelist Tosin. Shalom, sir. If any man or church believes in the totality of the Bible and didn't come across the teachings of Brother Branham, is a man or church still in the end time message? If any man believes, let me read it again, believes in the totality of the Bible, that is achieved. If you believe in the totality of the Bible, it is achieved. It's because people don't believe the totality of the Bible. If you believe in the totality of the Bible, then you will baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus. If you believe in the totality of the Bible, then you will not ordain your wife as a pastor. If you believe in the totality of the Bible, then you won't have headquarters and have branches and employ pastors. If you believe in the totality of the Bible, you believe in a fivefold ministry. It will not be a one-man show church. If you believe in the totality of the Bible, then you will believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the liberty of the Spirit. If you believe in the totality of the Word of God, then you will not say speaking in tongues is evidence of the Holy Ghost. And so, if you say you believe in the totality of the Word of God, then be careful so that you say you believe, but in practice you deny the same thing you are claiming you believe. So why? The end time message is not about William Branham, but about what God has sent him to do. Years back, there was this controversy among the end time message believers. Whenever they go to teach about the serpent seed, they will have problem, argument, people will stone them even. And I asked an American evangelist who visited me about 1991 or so, 92. And then I said, come, what is the importance? Because every revelation, there must be a reason for it. What is the importance of that doctrine? And that was when he told me, the doctrine of the serpent seed lets us understand why you must be born again. And then I told him, I said, so, if I meet a believer and I tell him you must be born again before you can enter into the kingdom of God, and he agrees, does he need the doctrine of the serpent seed? He doesn't need it, because the purpose is already achieved, is to make you believe. So the ministry of William Branham was to call people back to the apostolic faith. So if you're already following it, remember, it's not about William Branham. Through the ministry of William Branham, a spirit, an anointing was released. So you may not know him, but the Holy Ghost from that period has started establishing his own. And you will sit down, and before you know what, you are seeing things that you didn't see before in the Bible, and you are following it. It's not about William Branham. So whether you know William Branham or not, that you have received the Holy Ghost, for Christ in you is the hope of glory. And Christ is in you by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And what gives you that hope is not just that Christ is in you. He comes in you to do something. He leads you to all truth. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So it's not about William Branham. It's about knowing the truth and practicing it. God bless you. Who was supposed to talk? Yes, brother?
Praise the Lord, sir. So there was an argument concerning the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to know the day and the month it was.
The date and the month is not recorded in the Bible. Neither do we have any history book where it is recorded. And the reason why we don't have any history book where it is recorded is simple. It's a satanic agenda. Because he knows what he wanted to do with it. But more importantly, God himself did not emphasize it. Because I believe it's not necessary. For our salvation, it's not just his birth. For his birth did not bring redemption. It is his death that brought redemption. You have to understand that. So, but the wise shall understand. If you look at the Bible, and I have tried to prove it here, there's no time now. Look at it very well. You will discover that Christ was born between September and October. And I've proved it from the Bible. And even just a little mathematics. Just a little mathematics. Eh? When did Christ die? When did Christ die? Which year? Talk to me. If you don't know, answer me. And I say you don't know. You're looking at me. Eh?
I don't know.
You don't know. He died in AD 33. Every Christian should know that. He died in AD 33. Now, and he died around our Roman calendar in April. That is the Passover time. Now, from April, if he died in April, by April, and everybody knows that he died at the age of 33 and a half. Correct? If he died at the age of 33 and a half, it means by April, he had celebrated his birthday 6 months back. So count 6 months backwards from April, it will come between September and October. Jesus was not born on the 25th of December. Simple.
Thank you, sir.
But there is even a specific calculation that Luke, the book of Luke, gave us. From the time that the angel visited Zechariah, he made a statement there when he was in the temple in the course of Abia. So when we go to the book of Chronicles, we see the course of Abia. Which month was Abia ministering? From there, make your calculation. You will see, come back to September and October. God bless you.